My name's Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
Football on Off the Ball.
They're in danger, aren't they? Really?
Yeah.
You're kind of looking at where are they going to pick up points.
There's no green shoots there.
No. And the injury list, obviously Maddison and Kulusevski are their marquee attackers. They're not coming back before the end of the season either. So there's like, where do they score and where do they get any sort of momentum?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
No chance, 2-2. Kempis' second goal, and Shilton was left without a hope.
Mario Kempes, the star of Argentina's first World Cup triumph in 1978, scored a whopping 303 goals over the course of his career, which included spells at Valencia, Rosario Central, River Plate and Instituto. But what if his career had taken a different path and ended up at Spurs? Well, just years after helping his nation win their first World Cup, he nearly joined his fellow countrymen in Ozzy Ardiles and Ricky Villa at the North London club. But why didn't the deal get over the line? Well, in episode 4 of Richie McCormack's Sliding Doors, Richie explains why the transfer didn't come to fruition for one of the best strikers in the world of the 70s and 80s. Find this week's episode in your OTB football podcast feed for free each and every Monday. You can also go back and listen to the other episodes in this series focusing on Michael Laudrup, Pelé and Ronaldo. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed now.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
Good evening and welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. It is second leg night of the Champions League playoffs. We're currently watching Atletico Madrid 2, Club Brugge 1 after 60 minutes at the Wanda Metropolitano. That means Atletico Madrid are currently 5-4 up on aggregate. Three games kicking off at 8pm tonight. Coming up on the show this evening, we're going to be speaking to David Brady from 7:30 to talk all things Mayo, to talk about Kobe McDonald's and the sort of hype around him, really. I know that there's a lot of talk right now that we can't be overhyping an 18-year-old, which we're going to strive not to do, but we should be trying to enjoy what looks to be a glittering year ahead for the young fella as he comes into that Mayo team on Sunday and scores 1-4 off the bench. From 8 o'clock, we're going to have Brian O'Driscoll in studio with us. He was obviously on punditry duty for ITV on Saturday at Twickenham. He was doing a spiral kick masterclass alongside Johnny Wilkinson on the pitch as well. So we'll get his account of things in London on Saturday. And then between 9 and 10 is the football show as ever. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to drop us a WhatsApp message. Cameron Hill is on Newsround duty. Hello, Cameron.
Hello, Owen.
Michael McCarthy is back as well. Mick, how are you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen.
So we're talking all things Kobe from 7:30 this evening. Do you think we should do this after every single performance this year just because we're not going to be able to do it next year or forevermore?
Try and fit in a career's worth of Gaelic football.
Correct.
In one season. So we're going to hyper-analyse every league game, every championship game, and have a Kobe McDonald celebration all the time. It's funny you said there about like overhyping an 18-year-old. And I kind of immediately dismissed in my head. I was like, we have to be able to get excited about stuff. And then you realize, oh, there is like a person at the end of that. And there are, that can get unfair very quickly. He's played, 14 minutes of senior county football.
But at the same time, but it's the best 14 minutes that anybody's ever played in the history of sports.
It's like we haven't had this feeling since David Clifford.
I think you know, you're absolutely right. But I think enjoying somebody talking about how much you enjoy watching a footballer, I don't think that necessarily comes with any sort of malicious intent.
Surely at some point that has to be what we watch sport for. And,
100%.
You know, you want to see a future superstar come true. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And it doesn't need to be always met with a kind of, you know, angry rendition of how everybody hyped them up. And like, everything isn't, you know, nefarious.
Yeah.
Like, it's, at some point we're just excited because we love sport and something exciting is happening.
And it shows how, you know, prone we are to catastrophizing. Like, this could be like the lightest story ever. The man seems to be carrying this on his shoulders very, very easily right now. His celebrations, smile on his face. I mean, I doubt he cares too much about what people on the radio are saying about him. So I'm not really buying the whole dim this hype whatsoever. Nobody's saying that Mayo are going to win the All-Ireland this year. Nobody's saying that this guy is going to be Footballer of the Year this year. It's just a very good story. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with David Brady from 7:30. We'll also chat about Congress this weekend, because it seems at this point that the All-Ireland's going back to August. Looks like that won't happen. That motion will not pass this week at Congress. We'll get David's take on all of that with regards to whether or not he thinks that's the right thing.
I was listening to something about this morning and just thinking to myself, like, this argument or this fight is never really going to go anywhere, really, is it? It's like it's a very entrenched situation where there's a feeling that certain people think the county game isn't getting enough exposure because of the shortened season. Is it really a shortened season? But I suppose the shortened, the early All-Irelands, and people who just think that the club game is forgotten about and abandoned. There's almost nothing you can do to convince people either way. And ultimately, it's because we're probably at a point now where the calendar almost needs something to be exclusive. That's never going to happen. And that's brilliant, because nobody wants the GEA to become that way. But I mean, in terms of almost like basic mathematics, if you want the club to be everything it needs to be almost... The problem with the old system was the club season was all over the place, but it was running through the year. Whereas now, if everybody's waiting around until August to kind of get going in any kind of a real way in the club window, that's a long time to be waiting around, where in something that should be the lifeblood of the community. So
except for in Tyrone, obviously, they hit their National League very seriously. As in, like, the prior to August thing, although they do wait for the...
But are they waiting? They're not playing off league games, and that's one of the issues. I would say I think there needs to be some kind of centralized... Maybe it's not a centralized structure. Counties can do their own, but like some rules and regulations, and it has to be a meeting in the middle somewhere. Whereas, like, you know, you have some games, you play your league off, you don't wait around for the county game to be finished, and then we have a real county championship that's there, that it doesn't have to be played off at 100 miles an hour, you know, and in a rushed way that feels very unsatisfactory to everybody because your county players are available and so on. But then again, that doesn't take into account people wanting to go on holidays or to America, or the county players can't play for 12 months a year either. Like, we don't have enough room.
Nobody
wants to admit that, because nobody wants to change players for playing for both counties, but there just isn't enough room to do both in a satisfactory way.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably at its limit right now, and eating into two further weeks of the club season is going to be rejected this weekend for that reason. I've kind of got used to it at this point. I thought 2024 was a bit jarring, I must say. 2025, less so. It's amazing how quickly things change in your own head. That sort of absent month of August that I certainly bemoaned in 2024 just didn't feel anywhere near as absent in the year just gone. So
yeah.
I've kind of come around to it, to be fair. So we'll see if it passes, but it doesn't look like it will. I think people have probably realised that the club season that we've just had is, as a result of this, the most satisfying for a lot of people. And,
yeah.
and also the most satisfying for a lot of neutrals, given the way the All-Irelands went as well. So the club game in a very, very strong position right now, and trying to preserve that is going to be behind the rejection of this motion on Saturday.
The only question now for Saturday is whether the motion is withdrawn or not, which would leave it an ability for it to be put on the table again next year.
Okay, yeah.
If it is debated and defeated, then I think, someone correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think it's off the table for 3 years then. Possibly even five, if it is rejected.
Our number is 087-918-1818 and you can get us on WhatsApp. Cameron Hill, where are we starting this evening?
Well, the Minister for Sport, Patrick O'Donovan, has warned that Ireland would be the big loser if the upcoming Nations League games against Israel aren't fulfilled. So the Republic of Ireland, just to remind everyone, have been drawn to face Israel in Men's Nations League B with games scheduled for September and October. Now, Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley and Shelburne boss Joey O'Brien are among those calling for a boycott of the fixtures. Minister O'Donovan was speaking to media at the Aviva Stadium today and was asked how the Irish government squares allowing the Israeli football team to play in Dublin while the Irish government, quote, maintains that Israel is a country that engages in genocide.
Well, I think it's quite easy to square it when you reflect on the words of the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, the Minister for Foreign Affairs and others. There's a governing authority here over football in Europe, UEFA. They have made a decision with regard to Israel's participation in that. We've also made a decision with regard, the FAI have also made a decision as a governing authority here in Ireland with regard to Ireland's participation in it. And I think that the right decision here is to make sure that the games are played. If the games aren't played, the big loser in it is the Republic of Ireland soccer team. There's opportunities for us and outside of the playing fields, I think, which is in danger of politicising young men who are going to turn up and play for their country. I don't think anybody in Ireland has a bone to pick with the Israeli soccer team. Yes, there's a bone to pick with the Israeli government, but I think the two need to be separated, and I think most people can separate the two out, to be quite honest about it. UEFA, who are the national or the international governing authority with regard to European football, have made a decision on this. If Ireland doesn't fulfil its obligations with regard to playing it, Ireland becomes a big loser in this. So from an Irish perspective, the right thing to do is what the FAI have said that they're going to do, it's what the Taoiseach has said should be done, it's what the Minister for Foreign Affairs and the Taoiseach have all said should be done, and the Gardaí are confident that they'll be able to police it appropriately.
Ooh, I think that's a big statement to say that the Irish public doesn't have a bone to pick with the Israeli football team.
Yeah. But it's also not this, like, decision that we can politicise some things and not politicise others is really grating, I have to say. And look, again, when we've talked about this on the show, I think there's absolutely an argument in terms of how difficult this would be for the FAI. It's not a willy-nilly decision to just say boycott and let's just be all kind of like, you know, in this sort of, you know, flag-waving, every decision is easy. Absolutely. So let's put that aside for a second. But the idea that this isn't about the Israeli government or anything like that, like, boycotts work. And, you know, it's like, would apartheid have collapsed without international boycott? You know, who's to say, but it certainly wouldn't have as early as it did in 1990. So it's like, it's just this glib sort of Ireland, the FAI and the Irish soccer team will be the loser. There's more important things at play here. And, you know, it's like the Palestinian people who are being murdered and dehomed and everything below murder are the loser in this, and there's something you can do to stand up and fight it and to possibly stop it. And that's not to say that us boycotting a football game would do it on its own, but who knows where these things start, and they come from taking a stand somewhere along the line. So again, I just think it's not even to argue that point in particular, but it's glib to say that it's just as straightforward, it's nothing to do with the Israeli soccer team, it's nothing, you know, don't politicize young men going off playing soccer. What a load of nonsense that is, you know?
I don't think it's sort of a willful sort of ignorance around the separation between the two of them. I just don't think you can separate them in so many different ways. Like, you look at any major sports event, it's very hard to divorce them from the society and quite often the politics of a certain country. Like, just go back to Sunday evening in Milan and Cash Patel celebrating with Team USA, I think, in so many different situations. It's very, very hard to divorce the two things. So I don't know. I'm not sure if all Irish fans are going to necessarily be able to look at this team of 11 people wearing Israel football jerseys and not see them as an entity that represents a country that is questionable beyond belief at the moment. So look, I think we probably are all in agreement that this game is happening. Both of these games are happening. And I'm not sure where it's actually going to go in terms of the debate right now. But on the other side of the playoff, on the other side of the World Cup, this is coming right back into focus, I suspect, as well.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place. with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
What have you got next, Cameron?
Well, Newcastle boss Eddie Howe says his squad seem to have a habit of raising their game in the Champions League. They're on the verge of a place in the last 16 tonight with a 6-1 lead over Karabakh of Azerbaijan heading into tonight's second leg of their playoff. That kicks off at 8 o'clock. Just some of the team news, some interesting team news, Owen. Former Galway United defender Alex Murphy has been handed his first start for the Magpies tonight. They've made 7 changes for that game. Aaron Ramsdale, Sven Botman, Murphy, Joel Linton, Jacob Murphy, William Osula and Harvey Barnes have all been recalled following their defeat to Manchester City at the weekend.
Okay, very good. So 3 games we'll be keeping a close eye on. Probably Inter Bodo Glimt, the game to watch tonight.
Yeah, I mean, while you were all, dying with Arsenal last Wednesday night, that was the game. I'd forgotten that Arsenal were playing, to be honest, because I wasn't working that night. And the atmosphere and for that Bodo Glimt game was brilliant. But you kind of thought, oh, the best they'll do here is a kind of a 2-1 win, bring it to the San Siro. Chances are Inter will equalise, you know, and they'll put up a good fight. But then they got the third goal and they were genuinely a good bit better than Inter. And I know it's a very different thing when you're not playing on your plastic pitch in the Arctic Circle anymore and you have to go to the San Siro. But they have a 2-goal lead. It's a very exciting night. If Bodo Glimt beat Inter in the Champions League knockout stages, it has to be one of the biggest Champions League shocks of all time. So, yeah, now I've put an absolute curse on it, 5-0 Inter.
Yeah. Dylan's been in touch, by the way, on the Minister O'Donovan comments to say Minister O'Donovan may have overstepped the mark with withdrawing funds. This is obviously on the topic of the flares at Oriel Park last week for 5G pitches for all clubs. But if it leads to a conversation about flares, it's a good thing. Lost count of the amount of times, whether on the terrace or in the stand, I've been sat near young fellas recklessly setting them off with no idea what they are doing and panicking and firing it down on top of the people. Eamon says, on the topic of Israel, I suspect here, I'm appalled by Minister O'Donovan's statement, appalled and outraged. Do the right thing, FAI says, Eamon. So 087-9180-180, what's next?
Well, just on that texter there, Owen, the flares conversation was really interesting because I used to work as a steward at the Aviva Stadium way back when, and I remember when we were doing our induction, the advice was from the safety stewards is that if a flare gets thrown at you, there's really nothing you can do. You kind of just have to wait till the fire marshals come over and assist you, which was, you know, as a 20-year-old steward, was one of the most terrifying things I'd been told, because any manner of things can happen, as we kind of saw at the weekend. It just feels like we're in a sort of period of limbo with flares and the safety around them, because they are outlawed. All sorts of pyro are legal in the Republic of Ireland, which means, funnily enough, that the fire stewards have a limited amount of resources that they can use to put those out and to actually fully police that and have the safety in place. Like, they have the sand pits that are available, but that's kind of it. And you feel like if there was better regulation around it, and it wasn't just, it was more case by case and particular and forensic, that actually safety issues wouldn't be as big a concern when it comes to them, because right now it's just a, well, they're all gone, so it's kind of out of our hands.
Can I make a quick point on that, though? Because I absolutely agree, and I think that actually bringing up a conversation about this and about what happened on Friday night is no harm. And like a 12-year-old boy having his face, I think the word the minister used was scorched, like, is absolutely unacceptable. Like, you know, regardless of the damage to the pitch, like that is absolutely... I think I called it like trivial in the grand scheme of things last night, which I'd stand by given the overall punishment. But it's not an individually trivial thing. You know what I mean? It's an awful thing, and I do think the flair culture in the League of Ireland is just it's beyond silly, really. Like, you know, I think it takes away from it a little bit, even though it does. There's an element of it creating atmosphere and so on.
What about
my point that I want to make, though, is the texter there says that, like, I don't agree with the minister, but if it brings, you know, if it brings eyes on this issue, then great, I'm all for it. That's not how things are supposed to work. That's not how we're supposed to things to work. You have a draconian punish-all policy that will largely affect, like, League of Ireland academies for the most part, right? that no flares are going to be thrown on. If that's your, like, that is not the way to do things. Like, there are other ways to try and implement a flare policy or to try and implement better security around League of Ireland games without, like, and it's just, I'm sorry, but that's just not the way things are supposed to work in a functioning democratic society, where you're saying, oh, we'll make a bad, like, law, or we'll make a kind of a draconian decision, but it's okay because our meaning is good because we're trying to stop something bad from happening. That's not how things are supposed to work.
Your heart can't just be in the right place, is kind of your point, is it?
No, that's not my point at all. My point is that the justification for, like, this over the top knee jerk reaction because the Minister for Sport happened to be in at the ground and saw something that was horrifying, right? Isn't, like, that doesn't justify. I just think that you can't just take on something that it needs to be taken on the wrong way.
Hmm.
You know? That's why I just disagree with that texter, as he says that, oh, well, if it's worth it if it brings attention to this.
Yeah, the heavy-handed approach gets the ultimate outcome that potentially he wanted in the first place, then it kind of justifies the approach to it. I do think, like, obviously it does feel particularly pronounced that League of Ireland grounds, it will need to be a sport-wide clamping down on smoke and flares and all that sort of stuff, because it is apparent and it is there in other sports around the country as well. Granted, not denying that League of Ireland grounds is where you have most of the pyro, I think it adds quite often
a good
atmosphere and feel to
zone, and it is. I have to be honest about that. I know it could sound a little bit kind of like, you know, old grannies complaining kind of about, you know, stuff that the kids are doing at the games, but it's needlessly dangerous and there's a reason that it's not allowed and it should be actually enforced. I don't know. It feels like when something happens at a football match, especially an Irish domestic football match, that it is, there's a bigger reaction when something goes wrong. Like when the club hurling match, I won't even bother mentioning the club names involved, but when there was a club hurling match earlier in the year and man comes on the pitch and punches a player, you know, like that is not the most unheard of thing. There was two incidents in the same week. We'll remember. The other one wasn't as publicised. That's not the most unheard of thing in the world. You never, ever, ever hear a politician saying, unless the GEA gets their act together. Do you know what I mean? There was a man sentenced in Tullamore today, a treasurer for an assault on a GEA field. The treasurer at Tullamore GEA club. Like, these things need to be, like, I'm not saying we should react in a let's ban the GEA way. I'm saying the opposite of that. But you never hear that suggested. You never hear that kind of reactionary commentary from politicians when something like that happens at a GEA. Every sport has its own problems. And I think, why don't we try and help it and fix it as opposed to saying, oh, no more funding. Mm. We're going to pause all funding because this isn't acceptable.
Yeah, it's also worth considering, if he hadn't been there on Friday night, would the same reaction have actually materialised on Monday morning? I'm not quite sure, but it's like, it is whataboutery, but it's also valid whataboutery when you're trying to compare the other sports under the sports ministry, and it does feel that football is often the one that's kind of dragged through the coals a little bit more, certainly when you compare it to the GAA. Just to give you an update on the Champions League, so Atletico Madrid are qualifying for the next round. Alexander Sorloth has scored his second of the night, so Atletico are beating Club Brugge 3-1 on the night, 80 minutes on the clock at 6-4 on aggregate. Cameron, where are we going next?
Well, Czechia veteran Vladimir Darida has confirmed he's coming out of retirement ahead of their World Cup playoff semi-final against the Republic of Ireland next month. So the 35-year-old midfielder stepped away from international football back in 2021, but will reportedly return following talks with the country's head coach Miroslav Kubek. The Czechs are sweating over the fitness of star attacker Pavel Šuk, who picked up an injury with his club Lyon against Strasbourg last weekend.
We were looking into this a little bit earlier on, so I don't want to say hopefully. We want all the best players on the pitch. We want the Republic of Ireland to be up against the best 11 Czechia players.
You feel right otherwise.
So
available. Listen, minus all the injured lads.
Listen, if Ireland are going to the World Cup as a result of your man from Lyon not being able to play the first playoff, I will be devastated. I will be in Mexico City watching that Ireland game through tears. if that's the way we've had to qualify. You know, it would just be a crying shame if that Czechia team happens to be weakened. Although I did see a lovely window on your man's return, 2 to 6 weeks. It's almost as if it's like, as if there's some sort of kind of diktat that they will try and confuse us over the next few weeks, that will he, won't he play all the way up until the playoff.
Of course, Patrick Schick is like, you know, the most informed player in European football at the moment.
Playing tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Beating Olympiacos on his own last week.
David's been in touch to say, no pyro, no party. One of the reasons why the League of Ireland is so different and so popular in a more sanitised football world is why it's brilliant and so much football we watch on the telly. There was a reason why Bocker, River, Palmeiras, etc., etc., were invited to the Club World Cup. Maybe Dundalk will get Gianni will be on the phone.
You know, bring back ticker tape or something, you know.
Eddie.
The environmentalists will be after me now.
Yeah. Ticker tape meets flair. That would be very, very bad news. Eddie says, go to any match from quarterfinals on and you'll see drunk teenagers fighting on the hill. This minister has anti-soccer form. And Gavin and Arklow says, regarding the minister's remarks about us having nothing against the Israeli players, the obvious question is, does that mean we will play against anybody? Russia? Nazi Germany? I mean, we'll have to kind of rewind the clock there to play against.
We did, in fact.
We also played against, was Ireland the first international team to play against Chile during Pinochet's brutal regime? I think that's one of our other claims to fame.
Didn't it happen like during the... I think the trip was being organised, wasn't it, when the
coup was happening?
Coup happened, yeah.
Good point from Brian here in Lucan. Israeli players have to do mandatory military service, so by default they are intimately involved in carrying out genocide for their government. Probably have to look, I presume all
not the, necessarily the, every player has not, been since 2024.
There will be a number of young men who have carried out the military service. Some of them will have carried out military service 10 years ago. We'll need to check that in terms of who's actually served when, but it is a mandatory thing for all young men and all young women in their country. They have to do their couple of years of military service, and that's obviously taken on quite a different hue kind of a much more disgraceful hue over the past couple of years as well. So it's worth just raising that point at the very least. And then no one should be bringing flares into a League of Ireland stadium and damaging facilities and the pitch. However, taking funding away from every club does not do anything to help the situation and punishes those clubs who have nothing to do with it. The Irish government have let down Irish football with their approach and need to rethink how they approach grassroots football and our domestic leagues. That's in from an unnamed texter, 0879 180 180. Cameron.
Well, two-time Champions League winner Achraf Hakimi is to stand trial charged with the rape of a young woman. That's according to AFP, who obtained the information from the Paris Saint-Germain player's lawyers and a French prosecutor. In February 2023, a woman, then aged 24, told police in the Val-de-Marne district in the southeast of Paris that Hakimi had raped her. The 27-year-old Morocco international denies any wrongdoing.
Now then, on to the rugby.
Well, former England head coach Eddie Jones has slammed what he feels was Steve Borthwick's overconfidence in touting their Six Nations finale against France as a potential Grand Slam decider. Borthwick had suggested before the tournament began that the game in Stade de France on Super Saturday would be a title decider. 2 weeks ago, we met as a team and I spoke about how the last 7 Six Nations championships have been decided in the last round of fixtures, Borthwick said in Edinburgh last month. We want to be in a position in that game to get all we want to achieve. We want English fans flooding across the channel to get there and watch that game. Now, Eddie Jones was speaking on the Rugby Unity podcast in the aftermath of the defeat to Ireland in Twickenham at the weekend. He feels that Borthwick's bullishness was out of character and may have contributed to their back-to-back defeats.
I thought Steve made some very uncharacteristic comments, yeah, about title decider against France, looking ahead. Like, Steve is the most pragmatic, intelligent coach you could meet. And to go ahead for any team is fraught with danger. We all know that, right? Yeah. We all know that. But yeah, Sometimes the pressure comes that the union wants to hear more. RFU wants to hear more. They want to entice the fans because they're all hungry for money, right? So they want fan support. So be a bit bold, come out. Someone's told him to do that. And so the players read everything, right? The wives read everything, girlfriends read everything, boyfriends read everything. They all read it, right? And they hear that and they talk to them and they say, oh, we've got to get our tickets for France. And the slight psychological change you can get in the team because of that, that they start to look ahead, And then when they lose the game, like they did against, like they got caught on the hop against Scotland. And I think the Scotland game against Wales shows they were just caught on the hop. Yeah, that was a one-off, right? But now that one-off has crept into their psyche that they're disappointed about where they are. They're all feeling a bit threatened now. And how do you change around? Well, it takes leadership often on the field. That's the only way you change it around.
I kind of feel a little bit for Steve Borthwick in this. Not because of that comment. I can understand why people are going to town on Borthwick here. I remember these quotes being mentioned before the Six Nations began.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
People saying, oh, Borthwick's getting ahead of himself and all that. And then when I read the comments, I was like, he's not really. He's saying if we win all our games, we are going to have a grand finale with France. We want to be in that position where hopefully...
that's what we're aiming.
Yeah. Like, that's a completely reasonable thing to aim for. Like, I would love nothing more than to be sitting here on radio bashing the England head coach for being arrogant and cocky and getting way ahead of his station. But the lad just looked at his fixtures. He just looked at the calendar. He's like, we're playing France last. I want my team to win all my games before that France game. I want our supporters to show up.
Yeah,
like it was the most boring, reasonable. Bland.
It was in the course of interviews in the launch. Like, it was obviously, like, you know, there was a lot of, you know, what's your aim for this competition? What's he supposed to say? Hope we can battle it out with Ireland for third. You know what I mean?
It's great home against Wales.
But we should be reminded, though, that just because England are innocent this time, it doesn't mean they didn't make a Grand Slam ad before they won the Grand Slam and Ireland beat them in, was that 2017?
No, 2010 was the...
2011.
Yeah,
2011. Was that the T-shirts that they made the video, wasn't it?
Yeah. With Nike, yeah.
2011, yes. I have never heard of this before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was YouTube or whatever, but like a video with the T-shirts and stuff like that was made like by Nike,
Chris Ashton,
in fairness.
With
England's cooperation.
It got leaked.
Yeah. It was made.
It was made, well, I mean... Nike,
Ireland hammered them.
Nike had a video about the corner.
Yeah, in fairness, they don't prepare the Rolex Carlos Alcaraz thing in the moment. Like, that's ready to go when he wins the Grand Slam.
Or Rory McIlroy's laundrette video when he won the Masters last year. Like, that was ready to go. Again, just because it's England doesn't mean we have to hate on them. Sometimes they do reasonable things, and because it's England...
But that's sport.
That is sport.
Just a point on that.
Remember the Chelsea, like, you'd have a route for the open-top bus parade planned? It's always England as well. Like, you know, not as if every other team doesn't do it.
Arsenal have had a few of those in recent years as well, I think.
Just a point on that. I really enjoyed Matt Dawson after the game in Twickenham giving out about the kind of comments that England made going into the Ireland game. So we want a fast start. It's like, of course you do. Who doesn't want a fast start? It's so annoying. Whereas, like...
Yeah, what do you think Ireland want to do? Start slow.
The power of context. It's like, if they won, it'd be like, yeah, they came out, said they wanted a fast start, they did it. And I found it very, very funny.
We've time for one or two more stories, Cameron.
Well, I'll just update you on the All-Ireland Camogie champions Galway, who've been left stranded in New York due to a snowstorm in the northeast of the US. The squad arrived stateside last week for a team holiday, bringing the O'Duffy Cup with them, and had planned to travel back to Ireland on Sunday, but their plans were scuppered by a blizzard at the weekend, which saw record levels of snow in New York and the cancellation of 5,000 flights out of the city. And Snoop Dogg is asking Swansea supporters to join him by twirling towels in the stands before tonight's championship match against Preston. It's often seen in American sports, and the rapper will be visiting the club for the first time since becoming a co-owner. He also attended the Winter Olympics at Milano Cortina and has shown fans what to do when he walks out onto the pitch with free towels to be left on every seat at the Liberty Stadium.
Okay, good for them. They're up against Preston North End tonight at 7:45. And there's a full slate of championship fixtures. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for that. Just to let you know, by the way, that Atletico Madrid have scored another goal, and it's Alexander Serlath who scored once again for Atletico Madrid. So they're going to coast through to the next round after hammering Club Brugge 4-1 tonight. And that brings them to 7-4 on aggregate, I think it is. The scoreboard has disappeared from TV. Make me chat to you very shortly indeed. David Brady is up after the break.
The News Round on Off the Ball.